The Whistler.
I am the Whistler, and I know many things, for I walk by night. I know many strange tales hidden in the hearts of men and women who have stepped into the shadows. Yes, I know the nameless terrors of which they dare not speak.
And now, the Whistler's strange story, Curtain.
The off-screen activities of a movie star are often not nearly so glamorous as his publicity, especially when the actor is a fading star, like Jerry Jameson, one-time juvenile great. A star yesterday, today you're just another worried and puzzled actor, aren't you, Jerry? Worried because the big front, the facade of greatness, must go on. Puzzled because you see no solution to the financial problems which still remain. And you could have been independent if your wife, Marge, hadn't insisted on living up to every penny you've made, couldn't you, Jerry? Yes, Marge could have helped a great deal. But you're still determined to get back on top, no matter how or what the cost. So you keep up the big front, even with your agent, Bruce Kane. And anyone listening in on your conversation might well be led to believe that you're still tops at the box office.
How are you, Bruce?
Fine, Jerry, fine. How are you, boy?
Oh, fine, Bruce, just fine. What's new?
Oh, not much. Things are a little slow right now.
Oh, I was hoping you might have found something good for me. I'm getting a little restless, I guess.
Well, there's a fine character part in this script I was just reading, Jerry. It could build into something big, and I think you could handle it.
Oh, let's have a look, huh?
Oh, here. It picks up... Here, right here.
Is all there is to it?
Well, it's not a big part, Jerry, but it's meaty.
Meaty? 2 pages of dialogue? Look, I'm a star, Bruce, not a bit player.
Sure, Jerry, sure, I know. I just thought until something good turns up...
Thanks. I'll wait.
Jerry, why don't you go into some kind of business, something to keep you occupied between pictures?
Bruce, I've been in show business since I was 3 years old. I don't know anything else, you know that.
You don't have to know anything else. You can hire somebody to run the business. Just cash in on your name, Jerry.
Yeah? What'd you have in mind?
Oh, restaurant, shop of some kind. Lots of movie biggies are doing it, Jerry.
Yeah, I know, but unless I'm mistaken, that takes money, and money I don't have.
You have a house, a rather large house.
Yeah, which is mortgaged right to its picture windows.
Oh, insurance? Can't you borrow on your life insurance?
I have, Bruce. Every dollar I can get on it.
Hmm. What about that high-powered convertible? That should be worth quite a chunk.
No, the car is Marge's.
Well, Marge would surely help you to get started in something, wouldn't she? You've given her enough jewelry to open a jewelry store.
Now, that stuff is hers, Bruce. I wouldn't ask her to hock it to finance me in a gamble like a new business.
No, I suppose not. Don't you have anything you can convert into cash, Jerry?
In words of one syllable, no. In fact, I came in to ask you for a couple of hundred to meet the household expenses this month.
Sure, Jerry. I'll write you a check. 200?
You better make that 3.
Okay. Yeah. Here you are.
Thanks, Bruce. You'll let me know if anything comes up?
You bet I will. I'll call you the minute something breaks.
You stop by the bank to deposit Bruce's check in your so-called checking account. Then you drive slowly up into the hills to the big house which seems destined to be lost. You'll have to move to a smaller place, won't you, Jerry? But Marge isn't going to like the idea.
Come back, Marge.
Oh, it's you, Jerry. Well, did you see Bruce?
Yeah, I saw him.
Did he have anything for you?
He had a bit part. A character part, he called it. Maybe I should have taken it.
Oh, don't be silly, Jerry. You're a star.
Yeah, wasn't I?
Well, you're really in a bad mood, aren't you? Did you get some money?
A couple of hundred.
Oh, good. I can get that new gown for the charity ball. I'll call the shop.
Marge, you can't get a new gown for the charity ball. We have expenses to meet. They shut off utilities, you know, when you don't pay your bills. We better pay Mrs. Flynn something, unless you want to try to keep up this place by yourself.
Jerry, I can't go to that ball without something new to wear.
Well, then don't go. It's as simple as that.
But it's the biggest thing of the season. Everybody who is anybody will be there.
Well, we're not much anymore, Marge. Don't you realize that?
Maybe you're not. Oh, in this house, I hate it. It takes every dollar you can promote.
I know. Marge, let's move.
I'd love to. I'm sick of this place. Marie is letting her house go, Jerry.
Marie?
She has a nice pool, you know, and
Oh, Marge, I meant something smaller, something we can swing the rent on.
The rent? You're asking me to move into a rented house?
I'm not asking you, I'm telling you. I'm broke, Marge. Don't you understand? Flat, busted.
Oh, it's just temporary, Jerry. We've had rough spots before.
Yes, but I was under contract then. Can't you see, Marge? I'm finished as a juvenile. I can't go on playing Joe College until I trip over my long white beard.
Then why don't you get out of those stupid college pictures?
With a face like Harold Teen, how can I do anything else? I've always been strictly a juvenile, Marge, and I'm 35 years old. Now add it up yourself.
I'm adding, and I don't like the total.
Bruce suggested this afternoon I go into some kind of business. Just to keep occupied between pictures, he said.
Well, what's wrong with that?
There's just one little complication, dear wife. Money.
Well, can't you get somebody to back you?
Why in the name of heaven would anybody in his right mind back me? I have absolutely no business experience of any kind.
What? If that's for me, I'm not in. I'm going to my room.
Okay, I'll get it.
Hi, Jerry.
Charlie, come in. Yes, it's been a long time.
Sure has. I just took a chance on catching you at home. How's everything, Jerry?
Fine, Charlie, fine. How are things at the studio?
Oh, same as always.
Can I pour you a drink?
You sure can. Make it scotch and water, will you? Easy on the water.
Looks like it'll have to be bourbon, Charlie.
Oh, that's all right.
There you go. There you are.
Oh, thanks.
Well, Charlie, what's on your mind?
I've been talking to a young writer I know, Jerry. The kid has a great idea. I thought you might want in on it.
What kind of idea?
Jerry, have you ever considered television?
Who hasn't?
This kid has a terrific idea for a series of variety shows. On film, of course. And you're a natural to MC it, Jerry. You'll have an occasional dance routine, a song, a little fast patter. Not too much, just enough to hold the acts together.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see it.
I thought you'd like it. Like I said, it's a natural for you.
Who's backing it, Charlie?
We are, Jerry. You and I.
We?
It's my big chance to produce on my own, and I know I can sell the series after we get it made.
I don't know, Charlie.
Jerry, I've had a couple of nibbles already, and we haven't even started to shoot. Of course, I can probably get someone else to go into it with me. I just thought if you weren't busy, you might want to crack at it.
Well, I...
This kid will write the shows for a small piece of them, and believe me, he's good. I brought a couple of scripts for you to look over.
How much would I need?
I figure $20,000 will do it. That's 10 for me and 10 for you. I'm shooting my life savings, Jerry. That's how sure I am.
$10,000. Can I think about it a few days, Johnny?
Sure, Jerry, sure. Now, you look these scripts over and think about the deal a while. After all, $10,000 shouldn't be much money for you. Me? I'll really be scraping, Jerry. I guess that's something you haven't had to do for years.
That's right, Charlie. Something I haven't had to do for years.
After Charlie leaves, you sit down with the two scripts. It doesn't take you long to realize that the writer is really good, does it? His material is fast, smooth, and very clever. And the part of the master of ceremonies seems perfect for you. A definite showcase for your particular talents. When you finish reading, you go upstairs to talk to Marge.
Yeah?
It's me, Marge. Hey, that was Charlie Ross. You know, the producer at the studio?
Oh, yes. Does he have something, Jerry?
I think he has. Something big. But I'll need $10,000.
What? What are you talking about?
Charlie has a new writer lined up for a television series. He wants me to star in it.
But why do you need $10,000?
We're going to back it, Charlie and I. 50-50.
Oh, that's the craziest thing I ever heard.
What's crazy about it? You know Charlie's a top producer. He swears by this writer, and... Well, it's a natural for me, Marge. Song and dance plus patter.
And where are you going to get that kind of money? You were just telling me how broke you are.
Marge, I wouldn't ask you to do this if I weren't positive it's a solid investment, but I am positive.
Ask me to do what?
Let me have the money, Marge.
Are you out of your mind? I don't have $10,000.
We have the car. You have a nice collection of jewelry. And I suspect you have a sizable amount of cash stashed away somewhere. I mean, I've been generous with you, Marge. You must have
the
some...
The car is mine, Jerry. And so is the jewelry.
I know that, but...
And as for the sizable amount of cash, all the money you've ever given me has gone into endowment policies, Jerry. They won't mature for a couple of years yet.
Well, you can borrow against them, Marge.
Are you kidding? Why don't you borrow against your own insurance?
I can't, Marge. I've already...
You mean you won't? You'd rather gamble with my money.
You'll get it back. Every dollar of it.
A couple of hours ago, you were telling me you were all finished, Jerry.
In movies, yes, but this is different. This is my big chance to get back on my feet.
I don't want any part of it.
You mean you won't help me?
I mean I won't gamble my future on this thing. Why should I risk everything I own?
Aren't you forgetting that I gave you everything you own?
I earned it, Jerry. Just by being Mrs. Joe College. Every time I sat through a premiere of one of those sickening pictures of yours, I earned it. Every time I walked down the street beside you, I earned a little more. Every time...
I get it. You were never really in love with me, were you?
Oh, makes sense, Jerry. How can a woman be in love with a perennial college boy?
Get out, Marge. Get out of this house before I kill you.
You watch her leave, don't you, Jerry? Taking her jewelry, driving off in the car you gave her. It isn't pleasant, is it? Your realization that Marge took all she could get, and now, when you need her help, she runs out to wait for her endowment policies to mature. Her endowment policies, $10,000 each payable in 1955. Twice what you would need to make a fresh start, Jerry. Only you need it now, don't you? Right now. You take the policies from Marge's desk and read them carefully. One of the provisions all but jumps out at you. Double indemnity for death from accident. And you know all about double indemnity, don't you, Jerry? You once played in a picture about it. Reading further, you find the clause, payable to Jerry Jameson. Relationship, husband. You sit for a few minutes thinking about $40,000. Then you shrug it off. You'd settle for 10 right now, wouldn't you? And in spite of Marge's cold indifference, you'd rather get the money honestly if you can. You call on your agent, Bruce Kane, once again.
Well, Jerry, change your mind about that part?
Bruce, I got something big.
Oh?
Television, Bruce. Charlie Ross is doing a new series, and he wants to star me.
Well, that's wonderful, Jerry. Wonderful. What kind of a show is it?
A variety show. I'll be a kind of master of ceremonies. I think it's the break I need, Bruce.
Well, I'm tickled to death, kid. When do you go into production?
As soon as I can get hold of $10,000.
Come again?
It's our baby. Charlie and I are splitting production costs, but he practically has it sold already. Bruce... Will you lend me the money?
Jerry, I can't do that.
It's a sure thing, Bruce. I swear to this.
Look, Jerry, you've been in show business long enough to know there's no such thing as a sure thing. You're asking me to make a complete unsecured loan of $10,000. You don't have a thing to put behind it.
Except my ability.
I have every respect for your ability, Jerry. But so many things can go wrong. Suppose your writer goes sour or variety shows go stale. Any one of a dozen things could happen. Then where would I be?
Bruce, I made a lot of money for you.
I know you have, Jerry. That's why I'm carrying on the books right now for a lot more than I should.
All right, you won't let me have the dough. Get on the ball and find me a picture. Just one good picture.
You think I'm not trying? You think it's easy to find a lead for a middle-aged wonder boy? I'm sorry, Jerry. I didn't mean that. But I've been beating my knuckles raw on the studio doors.
Sure, Bruce, I know you're trying. It's not your fault. I'm through, that's all.
No, now, wait a minute. Things aren't that bad. Something will turn up. Here, kid. Here's the key to my cottage. Now, why don't you run down to the ocean for a few days and get some rest? A little sunshine and salt air will give you a new outlook on life.
Thanks, Bruce, but I don't think...
Come on, I won't take no for an answer. Go lie on the beach for a few days and, oh, I better warn you that you'll have to walk about a quarter of a mile to get down to the beach from the cottage. The high tide this year really wrecked the steps leading down to the beach.
Is that right?
Yeah. Impossible to get up or down the cliff for quite a way. But the walk will do you good, both of you. Marge is putting on a little too much weight anyhow.
Marge?
Well, aren't you going to take her along? She'd probably like a few days' vacation, too.
Oh. Yeah, maybe she would. Maybe a few days at the beach would give me a new outlook on life.
It's a tempting pattern, isn't it, Jerry? Your big chance to become a television star. Marge's indifference. The insurance policies that could give you the money you need and more. Yes, much more. You know the one way to get that money, too, don't you, Jerry? The following day, you call Marge's sister. Marge is there, as you knew she would be. She isn't exactly friendly, but you convince her that you must talk to her, and alone. She meets you at a little cocktail lounge in the boulevard. And you go into a routine playing your carefully calculated lie to the hilt. But it isn't your performance Marge is interested in, is it? You can almost see what she's thinking. That you just might connect on the television show and become a success again.
And, Bruce is going to advance the money?
Every penny of it.
That's funny.
Oh, I tell you, honey, it's a sure thing. 6 months from now, I'll be Mr. Television.
Oh, that'll be nice.
Marge... It doesn't mean a thing without you. Why don't you come on back home, where you belong?
Yesterday, you were anxious to get rid of me.
Oh, forget about yesterday. I was upset about this deal, honey. Now everything's going great.
When do you go into production?
Probably next week, as soon as I can get with Charlie and the writer.
How long will it take to shoot the series?
Oh, I don't know. A couple of months, maybe. Why?
Well, I'd rather wait, Jerry, till you finish. We can have a trial separation till then. If everything works out all right...
I mean, if we sell the show. Oh, it's no good, Marge. I'm not worth a dime without you. With you gone, I can't even think about anything else.
You should have thought of that before you kicked me out.
Marge. Look, baby, Bruce gave me the key to his beach cottage. Let's throw a few things into a suitcase and go down there for the rest of the week. That'd give us a chance to... I'll talk it over... Just the two of us.
Just the two of us, Jerry?
Mm-hmm. Kind of a second honeymoon. What do you say, baby?
All right, Jerry. It might be worth a try.
Sure it will, Marge. Sure it will.
She's so obvious, it's almost funny, isn't she, Jerry? You find yourself wondering just how far some people will go for money. Then as you think of yourself, you're startled. You suddenly realize you've decided to go as far as murder. You want Bruce to know you're definitely going down to the cottage. So you call him before you leave.
Yes, Jerry?
We're driving down to the cottage this afternoon, Bruce. Marge and I.
Good, good. I'm glad to hear it. Drop by when you get back to town, will you?
Okay, Bruce. Look, if anything comes up while I'm gone, you'll call me, won't you?
I sure will, Jerry.
Well, look, I'll see you the first of the week.
Okay, kid. Have fun.
Yeah. I'll try, Bruce.
You and Marge leave town late that afternoon. And by the time you reach the little village near the cottage, it's turning dark. You stop at one of the village cafes for dinner, and you play the devoted husband for the benefit of the owner and his wife. Later at the cottage, pale moon throws a shadowy light on the ocean. It's a beautiful little place, isn't it? Built on a cliff above the water. And the side of the cliff is impassable. Once unpacked, you go out to look it over carefully. You find a perfect spot quite easily. A spot only a short distance from the cottage, but with a sheer drop to the jagged rocks and swirling water below. Yes, Jerry. It's a spot that will do nicely, isn't it?
Jerry? Where have you been?
Just went for a little walk, honey. Beautiful night. Want to go for a swim?
Are you insane?
Oh, come on out and admire the view anyhow. Fresh air will do you good.
All right. I'll get a sweater.
You have that strange, tight feeling in your stomach, haven't you, Jerry? It's not unlike the feeling you used to get just before curtain.
Dark out here, Jerry.
Yeah. Moon went behind a cloud.
Don't you think it's dangerous? So near the edge of the cliff, I mean?
Not if you're careful, Marge.
I guess the high tides did a lot of damage down here.
You're approaching the place, Jerry. You drop a step behind Marge and carefully pick up a rock. You lift it high and then... you let it fall harmlessly to the ground again. You can't do it, Jerry. No matter how much you hate her or how badly you need the money, you just can't kill, can you?
Jerry?
Yes, Marge?
What did you stop for? Oh, look at this view.
Okay, Marge. I guess that's all there is to do now. Look at the view.
The room was almost silent, matching the still accident victim on the hospital cot. And then the doctor in charge straightened up and spoke to the man who stood by so anxiously.
He's coming around, Mr. Kane. I'll leave you with him if you'll promise not to stay long.
No, I won't, Doctor. I know he's still weak.
Well, I'll send a nurse in when your time's up.
Fine. Thanks, Doctor. Jerry?
Bruce?
How are you feeling?
My head.
Yeah, I know. But you're out of the woods, kid. The doctor says you'll make it now. And don't let anybody ever tell you that miracles don't happen.
Miracles?
That's right. The rocks below saved your life, Jerry. They broke a few bones when you hit, but they kept you from drowning.
Drowning?
Yeah. Some fisherman found you early this morning. You were plenty lucky, kid. And I got a hunch you're going to stay lucky. I got you a big picture yesterday. A lead. Psychological thing. I think you'll like it.
You did?
I sure did. And now that you're all set again, we won't have any trouble getting the money for that TV show either. I'll give you the details as soon as you're on your feet again.
I hope I can stay on my feet this time. You know, what a crazy place to faint.
Faint?
Yeah. I remember now. I fainted and fell off the cliff. Marge tried to grab me, but...
Are you kidding? Marge pushed you off the cliff. She tried to kid you. She confessed everything when they found you were still alive.
Marge? Tried to kill me?
Yeah. For your insurance.
Marge tried to kill me? For my insurance?
That's right. They're holding her for attempted murder. Right now.
Featured in tonight's story were Bill Foreman as the Whistler, Lamont Johnson, Francis Robinson, Eddie Marr, and Bob Bruce. The Whistler was directed by George W. Allen, with story by Doris Litterly, music by Wilbur Hatch, and was transmitted overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service. The Whistler was entirely fictional, and all characters portrayed on The Whistler are also fictional. Any similarity of names or resemblance to persons living or dead is purely coincidental.
This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service.